Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected and honorable beloved elders, brothers and our young ones in Islam, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the alwah, the tablets, to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, inscribed with the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and when he gave it to his community, obviously he would say it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They said that they will not believe that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they don't hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly saying that it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When that had gone through, then they said, no, we want to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala openly, clearly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused an earthquake, caused a kind of thunder, in which 70 people of the Banu Israel had become totally unconscious, like dead. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had a concern that we have left our community, our people, and now if they come to know, the Bani Israel come to know that these people are dead, the allegation of murder will be upon me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them once again back to life. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam makes a dua to Allah, and in that dua he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good of this world, for the good of the hereafter. Inna hudana ilayk, and Allah, we return towards you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response in a nutshell was that my rahmah, my mercy is encompassing everything. However, I ordained and I apportioned a great portion of my mercy for a particular group of people. Now this group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about were those that will be obedient to Allah in fulfilling the commandments of Allah, bringing iman in the kitab of Allah, and وَيَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ, those that follow the Rasul, that is our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala does not stop in this description. Allah Ta'ala says he is the Nabi of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says he is Ummi. He was the untutored Nabi of Allah, that for 40 years he did not have a tutor. He did not have a lecturer. He did not have anyone teaching him. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened his chest. Allah Ta'ala opened his heart, and wahi from Allah began to come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the onset, we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, Allah's mercy, a great portion of it is reserved and preserved for those who make ittiba and follow our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the one hand, Allah has guaranteed this in the Quran Sharif. On the other hand, the barakat of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We often hear the ayah, وَمَا رَسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a means of rahmah, and everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a means of barakah. I just want to go through one or two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to illustrate that barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Hisham radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his life in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him a great amount of barakah. Barakah not only in the spiritual aspect of his life. He was a sahabi, that was sufficient to understand his noble position in the eyes of Allah. But insofar as this dunya is concerned, and this is our general concern, and this is the talk of the day with regards to the economy, to regards how good or how bad business is, how lean things have become and all of that. So this sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu would often be approached by two great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidun Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they would say to him that make us a partner in your business dealings. Make us a partner in your business dealings. And he would oblige. And then the narrator says, his grandson, that why they would do this is that on a daily basis, after he deals for the day in grain, he will take a camel's load home as profit. If a person can understand it in this way, a super link every day as profit of a person, then we'll know that this person is doing well. And then the narrator says that his khala, his mother's sister, brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and requested Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't suffice on the dua verbally, but he took his Mubarak hand and he placed it on the head of Abdullah ibn Hisham and he made dua of barakah. And the result of that was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him barakah in his business dealings. Friends, we as an ummah, if only we can understand this aspect of becoming the beloved of Allah in his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bringing into our hearts the love of Allah in his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see this innumerable barakat in every aspect of our lives. Just one more example and then we go on. There was a sahabi by the name of Urwa. He once was given one coin by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take this coin and purchase a goat for me. This man goes out into the marketplace. He purchases that one goat with the one coin. He purchases two goats with the one coin. And then he sells one goat for one coin. So now when he returns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a coin in his hand and he has the goat. In other words, there's 100% profit. He gives Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back his coin and he presents the goat that he purchased for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now at that point, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for the sahabi. And then the narrator says that dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so effective that if this man bought sand and he sold it, he would profit from it. Now this is an expression. Today sand has value, but that was an expression that whatever he touched turned into gold. Now that was the kind of barakat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah Ta'ala placed. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the narration is long, but just one part of the narration, they were returning from jihad to Madina Munawwara, and he says, my animal became tired and it slowed down. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now began to overtake me. And he placed his hand on my animal, on my camel, and suddenly that camel began to gallop. Friends, when we think about the earlier life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was still in infancy, we all know the Islamic history and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In that, Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, together with the other wet nurses, come to Makkah in pursuit of the children that they would breastfeed. And she comes with an ailing camel to Makkah Mukarrama, and obviously she enters Makkah last. The other wet nurses had already contracted themselves to the children of the wealthy. Nobody would look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was an orphan, he had no father. How would they get paid? Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha is one wet nurse. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one child. But this was the couple that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had destined. And Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha has absolutely no choice. She cannot go home empty-handed. The distance, the journey was arduous. So she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into her lap. Friends, her entire qismat, her entire fortune changes. What happens? That camel that was ailing, now Allah Ta'ala restores its health. What happens back home, wherever her flock would begin to feed from, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will turn it into green pastures that others will send their animals and their livestock to feed from where Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha's animals had fed from. You know our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the narration is in many hadith kitabs, we have heard it many times. When she speaks about that great pride, and obviously it was a sense of joy and pride, that she says that I would bite the miswak, chew the miswak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would put it into his mubarak mouth, and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya with my saliva in his mouth. That is undoubtedly a very, very great ni'mat and blessing of Allah Ta'ala. But what about this ni'mat? That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had kept the rizq and the sustenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the chest of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha. What qismat Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had blessed her with. So friends, if you and I, the muhaddithin have written, if we can only take that mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if we can only nurse it, if we can only bring it into our lives, take it on to our laps, adopt it, and see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will begin to change not only our qismat, not only our fortune, but the fortune of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anything lacks in my life, in my home, in my family, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, the ayah that was recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks very glowingly about this ummah that follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala terminates it. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ. Four qualities that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about. These four qualities were found par excellence in the lives of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and Allah Ta'ala bring it in our lives also inshallah. First, Allah Ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. Those who brought perfect iman, after bringing iman in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they brought perfect iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, they were convinced, they were convicted to the belief that we will follow the kitab of Allah and we will follow every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the successful ones. In this world, in the akhirat, Allah will grant that success. The incident again is famous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is endangered in Makkah Mukarramah. And now the command of Allah comes, make hijrah and leave Makkah Mukarramah. The house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surrounded by the Quraysh, now waiting to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali, you sleep in my bed. And then it was the issue of the amanat, the trust of the people that entrusted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their belongings. They didn't trust him in the matter of nubuwat. They didn't trust him when he spoke about the Quran being the kitab of Allah. They didn't trust him when he spoke about akhirat. But with their dunyawi, their material belongings, they trusted him heart and soul. That is one thing that was the irony of the Quraysh of Makkah. Nonetheless, Ali, you stay here, you sleep the night here, you disimburse and you distribute and give each and every person back his amanat. Everything was detailed. And then Ali, I'll see you in Medina. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now leaves. The house is surrounded by the bloodthirsty Quraysh of Makkah. Allah ta'ala commands him, read the initial ayat of Surah Yasin until you come to وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّى وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّى فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And take a little bit of soil and throw it in their direction. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done that. Allah blindfolded them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. Many years later, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's sitting on the minbar of Kufa, and after he gives his discourse, one person asked him, Amirul Mu'mineen, tell us about that night, the night of Hijrah, when you were in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was that kind of fear in your hearts? We can think about it, brothers. We know the house is surrounded. We know they are all armed. We know they are thirsty for the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This could well be mistaken identity, and they would have assassinated Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So how was your heart that night? How did you feel on that occasion? Were you not afraid? He says, Qasam of Allah. I take the Qasam of Allah that was the most peaceful night of my entire life. I hadn't spent a more peaceful night than that night. So somebody asked him, how is that so? He replies, simply the last part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's conversation, I will see you in Medina. That gave me the yaqeen that I'll survive this night, I'll survive the hijrah, and I will survive to see the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. Friends, If we judge our yaqeen, our iman, how much are we convinced in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How much are we convinced that if we follow his way of life, Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy will descend upon us? How much do we have that yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala will open the doors of Allah's barakat upon us? Nonetheless, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ. And they were such that they had an exceptional love, affection, and a unique state of reverence, honor for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speak about Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum's honor, their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the extent Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would often say to people that when Sahaba would come into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, besides Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, no other Sahabi would look directly at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had gone to Egypt, the Egyptians obviously didn't see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So often they would ask him to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and often he would say to them that no matter how many times I entered into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I did not have the courage of looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to that extent in which I would be able to describe the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The last quality, وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ. Another salient quality of Sahaba is they followed that noor that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is the Quran Sharif. Allah give us the tawfiq. The one is to follow and abide by the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the other is to abide by the kitab of Allah and the ahkam of Allah. Just one example in this instance with regards to Sahaba's ardent following of the Quran Sharif. We all know that amongst the last commandments that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sent down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the prohibition of riba, the prohibition of interest. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses with regards to interest being haram, Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, pre the rule, pre the prohibition, was a money lender. And he would lend on interest. It wasn't haram at that time. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's command comes down. The Yahud are waiting to see what happens. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has his list of debtors. That list of debtors we keep close to us. The list of creditors, Allah knows best. Nonetheless, he has this list of debtors, and now he calls upon each and every one of them. And the Yahud are very interested in seeing what is going to happen. Allah has made riba haram. And what was now haram was for him to take the interest. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls upon the first person. He comes. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I have forgiven you the interest and the capital. And like that, the entire list of people, friends, it wasn't an issue of 100 rands or 200 rands. It was 10,000 dinar. At today's price of gold, 4.2 grams, 72,780,000, just the interest leave the capital. He made it 100% maaf. He forgave each and every person. وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ. He followed this command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Where are we as an ummah? Where are we in the matters of riba? آكِلُ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed the one that eats and devours, the one that feeds the riba, the one that writes the riba transaction, the one that witnesses the transaction, all of them are cursed. But friends, we will have the ifs and buts in this month of Rabiul Awwal. Let us look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very closely. What were the differences between them and us? Obviously, we cannot be like them. We cannot imagine being like them. But Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we follow the footsteps of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it came to the matters of the love of Allah and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.